over with a friend, or call someone out of the blue and say, hey, you know what? How would you answer this question? And it's a way, I believe, that God can help teach us things from God's word to apply to our lives. And so let's take a look at some of these some of these questions. First of all, how many would agree when it is all said and done, more will be said than done? Sounds like a wonderful Presbyterian committee, doesn't it, Mort? How about this? The church should be doing more. What do you think? All right. How about this? Most people are not willing to give up things to help others. Do you agree? Disagree? I don't know. We kind of have a... Not sure about that one. Okay, this is a good one. The church has more pessimists than optimists. How many would agree? How many would disagree? All right, that's good. I love our church. We're all united. Everyone can do more than they think. You agree? Yep. We should do whatever Jesus said. Whatever Jesus said. Do you want me to remind you of some of the things that Jesus said? Okay. How about this? Most people do not think that they really can make a difference. Like, say you're in wherever, Willowbrook Mall or up in the Woodlands, and you're to ask someone, do you think most people think they really can't make a difference? I don't know. So, we come today, and what concerns you about our community? What are some things that you're concerned? Is it education? Is it race relations? Is it mass shootings? Is it violence? Is, you know, what concerns you about our world, our community, our nation? And then to take it and to make it more for ourselves, what concerns you about Northwoods? But before that, what's a ministry that you really like about Northwoods? Is it Sleep in Heavenly Peace? Is it many different, our benevolences, NAM, the Hope Center? They're having their dedication, I think, their new dedication this month. What is it about Northwoods that you really like? And to go along with it, what's a concern that you have about Northwoods? This past week, I was invited by an elder who was concerned about some of the numbers during worship during August at our church. You know, it gets a little hot sometimes. I don't know if you know this, in Houston. And, you know, sometimes attendance in August isn't exactly the biggest attended month. And so we were talking about these sort of things. And interesting, some of the concerns that we talked about for the immediate right now and also as we move into the years ahead of us. So, this morning, we get to come to Count Von Count. Now, I have to say, I hear that there's someone in the choir that can do a pretty good Count Von Count. Do you want to do it right now? Very good. I like it. Now, over the years, the count has become a little softer and a little nicer. There was a little concern that he might be a little too vampire-ish, that might scare some of the kids. But he enjoys numbers, and he reminds us that really numbers matter. And we do pay attention to numbers, don't we? How many people are here in worship? We pay attention to the speed limit sometimes. We pay attention to numbers, our blood pressure. We pay attention to the stock market. We hear statistics being quoted here and there, and we pay attention to those things. The count reminds us that numbers matter. And there's some people who just love to count everything, right? And they pay close attention to those things. And now, as we look at this scripture... Actually, I'm going to come over here. This is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this passage. Philip said, Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content. You've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Believe me, I am in my Father and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. So here it's interesting what Jesus says, that there's something that we're going to be able to do even greater works than Jesus. Doesn't that seem a little odd? Don't you feel a little hesitant about saying you're going to do greater works than Jesus? I mean, Jesus was the Son of God. You know, he did some of these incredible miracles. You're trying to tell me it's possible to do greater works? Interesting, isn't it? And then that last passage, let's take a look at some of these. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. This passage tells us about who Jesus Christ is, and we get these pointers at least to the Trinity that we believe. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. So we see about, what these scriptures say about Jesus. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does that mean to you, to believe in Jesus? Is Jesus a good teacher, a moral teacher? Is that what that means? When you believe in someone, what does that mean? You believe what he or she says is true, right? You're willing to put your resources behind it. You're willing to commit, to trust. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Do you really think it's possible to do greater works? You've heard me joke about this before when we had our first couple of Make a Difference days. Jesus fed 5,000. And, this Saturday, I think we're going to try to make over 35,000 meals. Is that right, Kim? We're going to try to do it again. And, Jesus did 5,000. We're going to make 35,000 and kind of have a little fun. But isn't it amazing what can be accomplished when people are united in combining resources and effort to see what can be built in God's kingdom? Came across some interesting quotes about what we count and what we don't count. Dostoevsky said, "Man only likes to count his trouble, but he does not count his joys." Here's an interesting quote from Joseph Stalin. I know you read all of his works. "It's enough that people know that there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything." Ooh. It's interesting. "The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings." Mitch Albom wrote, "I used to be a classic workaholic, and after seeing how little work and career really mean when you reach the end of your life, I put a new emphasis on things I believe count more. These things include family, friends, being part of a community. Appreciate the little joys of the average day." What is it that you count, and what is it that you disregard? Jane Seymour said, "You have to count on living every single day in a way you believe will make you feel good about your life, so that if it were over tomorrow, you'd be content with yourself." Mario Andretti had the following quote, "I count my blessings every day, quite honestly, because I take nothing for granted." That's what happens when you're a race car driver. Albert Einstein said, "Many of the things you can count don't count. Many of the things you can't count really count." So what counts in your life? How do you measure your life? Where do you find that you spend your priorities, your time, your effort? And how is that helping to build God's kingdom? Muhammad Ali said, "Don't count the days, make the days count." So as we think about the Count Van Count, I would invite you to think about, first of all, counting our blessings. Why is that so hard for us to do? You know, your child comes back and they bring a report card and it has all A's and one B. What gets our attention? Right? And we focus on the negative. We don't focus on all the other good things. Many of us who've been to other countries, maybe on some of our mission trips, realize how blessed a life we live here. Things we take for granted: electricity, food, warmth, shelter, relationships. And yet, we are to count our blessings, to think about the things that we've been blessed. Abraham Lincoln said, "In the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years." It's the life in your years. How can we make our lives count? You would agree with me that everyone counts, wouldn't you? That everyone counts. Part of our ministry here on 1960 is to try to figure out how we can reach out and to meet some of the various needs. And that's why we've partnered with organizations like NAM and 1960 Hope and other Sleep in Heavenly Peace to try to figure out how we can make a difference in the lives of people right here. You know, just we heard it in the congregational care, didn't we? You know, someone had a premature baby, wasn't planned, and then what helped make the difference were meals. Well, then she in turn wanted to help be part of that ministry to help share meals with other people. It's making our lives count. Making it count. Humans are powerful spiritual beings meant to create good on earth. This good isn't usually accomplished in bold actions, but in singular acts of kindness between people. It's the little things that count because they are more spontaneous and show how you truly are. Those little things count. And who knows what the potential of those can make in the world. Zig Ziglar said, "Quit counting time and start making time count." So, some application questions as you leave are, you know, well, first of all, have you ever asked in Jesus' names and it didn't happen? That's happened to me. You know, I had an uncle who was a minister and he had cancer and we prayed and the cancer went into remission for a couple years and we felt awesome. And I'll never forget when I was in high school, cancer came back and we prayed, asked in Jesus' names, and it didn't happen. And sometimes that's part of it. Kind of tells us where we're spending our time. What's in us? What are we into? Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Him. What are we into? What has priority in our life? And especially as we think about taking that next step on our faith journey, you know, what would help you become a more dedicated disciple of Jesus? That's why I hope that you'll sign up for the Day of Renewal to hear Tom Toole, one of the best communicators we have in our denomination. Anybody that heard him a couple years would tell you, just a very gifted person to help us take that next step on our faith journey. What are we doing? What are we spending our time? And think about the ways that maybe we can help make a difference. You know, maybe it's getting involved in a ministry this year. You haven't been involved, and maybe this is an opportunity to say, you know what, let's do it. Maybe it's signing up to help us with Make a Difference Day this Saturday. There's something that happens when we work together. And all of a sudden you realize after just a few hours of work, we have 35,000 meals to share with hungry people. Or we've made a difference by visiting someone and offering a gift that says, you know what, we still care about some of our shut-ins that don't necessarily get out to church all the time as a way of saying we care about you. Maybe there's a way to help out. It could be with children's ministry. It could be with missions. could be an opportunity in many different ways. Maybe to think about a new ministry that we can do to help make a difference. So I came across a story about a young boy who wanted to make a difference. And his name is Austin. And he lives in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And he started a ministry called Austin's Closet.
I'm Austin Beauchamp. I'm 6 years old. At Austin's Closet, I collect hats, mittens, dishes, TVs, mattresses, beds.
So how this all got started was Austin came home from school one day and wanted another pair of mittens. He already had 4 wonderfully warm mittens, but he wanted some cooler ones. And the mom that I am wanted to remind him about all the kids who don't have warm homes and mittens. And so I told him about there's about 800 homeless children in Green Bay alone. And so the next day he went to school and he had to bring back 100 of whatever. So if it was Cheerios, M&Ms, and he came home and asked if he could collect 100 hats and mittens for the kids who don't have any. And he didn't know if he could do it, and I told him I would help him out. So we created a letter, and we posted it on my Facebook page. The first day, my mom came, and she brought in 5 hats and mittens. And then, all of a sudden, the neighbors started bringing hats and mittens. And he knew that he was still short, and he was nervous about not hitting his goal. Well, all of a sudden, then, there were packages coming from Las Vegas, California, New York. It was amazing. He ended up raising over 500 hats and mittens. And so that's how this all got started. And then we delivered them to different schools around the area. And he became having a really great relationship with Ann, who works at Howe Elementary. And that's where we started continuing Austin's Closet.
Well, Austin, he's a great kid and he's a great person. I think he's an old soul. He just has really taken this on. And his mom, of course, has orchestrated. But he really cares about the kids. There are times when I can ask a family, like when we delivered beds, I asked the mom, would it be okay if they came and delivered? And she said yes. And so he was able to meet the boys in that family and was able to see directly where the contributions were going. And I think it means a lot to him.
It has evolved into a lot more. From just starting with hats and mittens, he has now, we created a Facebook page, and Ann will communicate certain needs from certain families in the area, if it's mattresses, a microwave, dishes, whatever the needs are. Austin will post a video on this Facebook page and put the ask out there. And what happens is people will already just post and say, I have this. And so either we will go pick it up and bring it to Howe Elementary, we will deliver it if it's something big, or we have families who come straight to Howe and deliver it themselves.
He came today and he had about 7 friends with him, and then we had some leaders that were helping him too to bring the goods in, and I think that other kids are seeing what he's doing and they're really catching on and thinking that this is a good idea too.
I'm Austin Beauchamp, and I'm making a difference by helping those in need.
How are you helping people in need? Will you pray with me? Lord, we're grateful for people like Austin. We're grateful for people that combined churches and efforts to create NAM and other ministries that are seeking to make a difference in the lives of people. Lord, give us that same sort of optimistic spirit that says we can do this together, and help us be willing to place our resources, our time, our efforts in your hands to allow them to multiply in bigger ways than we can ever think. In Christ's name, amen. So our affirmation of faith comes from Galatians chapter 6. Let's stand and state these words together. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Please be seated. How has God blessed you to bless others? God bless you as you give your morning tithes and offerings.
One of the questions that Paul asked is, what is in you? This morning, we are all invited